on the machine here. Okay, great. Go ahead.
So my view is that doctors in essentially every specialty are choosing to leave the hospital behind if they can. So, for example, 15 years ago, it would have been unthinkable for a general surgeon to say, you know, I really don't want to do much in the hospital. That was, for general surgeons, that was the center of gravity of their practice, the hospital was. But now, for a bunch of reasons, general surgeons and doctors in lots of other specialties can more and more focus their practice outside of the hospital. And as their hospital time and exposure and revenue decreases, they, at some point, you know, are kind of mentally disconnecting from the hospital. Even if they don't drop their privileges, they see the hospital as sort of like doing their laundry. They got to do it. They got to go there a little bit, but they are just as happy to minimize their time in the hospital. That's not true for every single doctor, of course, but for a lot of doctors in nearly every specialty, they're sort of evacuating the hospital.
Okay.
That leaves behind those of us who will stay there. Hospitalists, radiologists, ER doctors, anesthesia. So there'll be plenty of doctors who won't leave. By definition, they're going to be in the hospital all the time or nearly all of their time. But that means that in total, each hospital will have a smaller number, absolute number of doctors who really think of the hospital as their principal place of work. Leadership will fall to that somewhat smaller number of doctors.
I see.
Of those doctors who stay in the hospital all the time, hospitalists are probably the most interconnected, the most networked, or the most likely to be maven, to use Malcolm Gladwell's term,
right?
Connectors and so forth. So a doctor in any specialty can end up being a connector just through force of personality and so forth, but a hospitalist just through the daily course of their work tend to interact with all kinds of other doctors and all levels of hospital staff, all the ancillary staff, the, you know, secretaries, therapists, dietitians, you know, utilization review people. For example, an anesthesiologist doesn't have as large a web of connections typically, nor does an ER doctor or a pathologist or a surgeon. So I identify two reasons that hospitals are already and probably will increasingly look toward hospitalists as for some leadership, and that is the fact that hospitalists aren't going anywhere. They will still be in the hospital and think of that as their principal place of work, and they have probably, arguably, one of the most elaborate web of connections.
I see.
Among doctors. So they're in a good position to be leaders. Whether they have the skills and interests and so forth is a different story. But that's why I think there's a growing need for the field of hospital medicine to be able to produce leaders.
Okay. So
not just to lead their own hospitalist practice, but to, it'd be good to make a list. I've never actually thought about that. One is a director of utilization review and case management, a physician who sort of oversees those activities,
right,
helping staff people decide if a patient is inpatient versus observation, for example, and helping to talk to the other doctors about those issues. That's one role. Another is take on a role in information technology. So I serve as our hospital's physician champion of our march to a paperless record, for example. Lots of hospitalists have that role. Chief medical officer is a common role. Many, if not most, hospitals have such a role, and I think over the next 10 years, most of the new chief medical officers will probably come from hospitals. The single largest source of new CMOs might be hospitals.
All right.
Those are three big ones. You may have heard others already. sure this is you I'm not thinking
I suppose
about.
There might be, what about in an academic medical center?
Yeah, in academia there's dozens of, you know, residency program director and on, department chair and so forth.
I guess my other category of questions was, how to acquire this training, these skills, various venues.
Yeah, so, well, one of the first things I would do is try to learn it from, you know, a mentor or somebody local. I think anybody, leadership position can be awfully lonely, so you need to, I suggest that people find a confidant and mentor at their local institution, somebody they see regularly, or, you know, they might come across regularly in the course of their day. I'm not suggesting they make an appointment to see this person every week or something, but someone who's very accessible, that they see all the time, that knows, you know, lives in the same environment, knows the local politics. That might be, you know, the chief nursing officer, for example, or just, you know, someone else in a leadership position who kind of knows, would have a good understanding of what you're up against. Another source of that sort of guidance and inspiration is to reach out to people in a similar position in your community or region. So, for example, I talk periodically with the other hospitalist program directors in Metro Seattle, or some of them, a few of them. We'll talk and commiserate and, you know, trade stories, and sometimes if we don't actually inform each other a great deal, but it's reassuring to know the other guy's having similar problems. So I think there's value in having both a mentor or a contact right at your own institution, and then people outside your institution who have a position similar to your own. It's good to network with them.
Okay.
I think those are crucial and should be available to essentially anybody.
I guess my other category of questions was, how to acquire these this training, these skills, various venues.
Yeah, so, well, one of the first things I would do is try to learn it from, you know, a mentor or somebody local. I think anybody, leadership position can be awfully lonely, so you need to, I suggest that people find a confidant and mentor at their local institution, somebody they see regularly. Or, you know, they might come across regularly in the course of their day. I'm not suggesting they make an appointment to see this person every week or something, but someone who's very accessible, that they see all the time, that knows, you know, lives in the same environment, knows the local politics. That might be, you know, the chief nursing officer, for example, or just, you know, someone else in a leadership position who kind of knows, would have a good understanding of what you're up against. Another source of that sort of guidance and inspiration is to reach out to people in a similar position in your community or region. So, for example, I talk periodically with the other hospitalist program directors in Metro Seattle, or some of them, a few of them. We'll talk and commiserate and, you know, trade stories, and sometimes if we don't actually inform each other a great deal, but it's reassuring to know the other guy's having similar problems. So I think there's value in having both a mentor or a contact right at your own institution, and then people outside your institution who have a position similar to your own. It's good to network with them.
Okay.
I think those are crucial and should be available to essentially anybody.
Do you have any tips, as opposed to those who are thrust into leadership positions, what about early career hospitalists who would like to pursue advancement into administrative position? Is there a Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, just get on committees. Look for opportunities to show that you can do it. There is just almost no question that if you seek out hospital committees, med staff committees, things like that, you'll get on them. And then once on them, if you can distinguish yourself by being a, by helping to lead the committee in a good direction, you'll just, your career will be off.